It was only 9 in the morning, just like it had been thousands of days before and thousands of days after. It was only 9 in the morning when the small group gathered in the small house in the small capital of one of the empire's smallest regions were back to being a bunch of nobodies, even though 10 days earlier they thought themselves much more than nobodies. They were the talk of the town, the source of the gossip, the reason for the excitement. Well, it wasn't so much them, but the man that they were traveling with. What were they, really, but a handful of fishermen and a smattering of social outcasts who, at most, had a loose association with each other. But all that had changed when their ears heard those fateful words, "Follow me." But that seemed a lifetime ago, especially considering everything that had happened, how that miraculous, miracle-working man had died and then rose from the dead and then left. This was the 10th day, the 10th day of their being nobodies, because 10 days earlier, the Jesus who had made them somebodies quite literally floated away, taking with him his caring words, his comforting presence, his confidence-inspiring words, leaving behind no kingdom, no prosperity, no clarity, just one word: wait. It was only 9 in the morning, the last hour of the day you'd expect something extraordinary to happen. And there they were, a bunch of nobodies, desperately waiting for the moment when they'd become the somebodies promised. And that's when it happened. That's when the silence of Jerusalem's stagnant air was rent apart by the sound of a gale-forced wind, though no curtain fluttered and no leaf was stirred. That was the moment when the few candles in that small room were put to shame by the candles the occupants of that room became, as tongues of fire appeared over their heads, expelling the darkness of doubt and uncertainty. This was the moment when the hushed voices of the nobodies became the bold voices of the somebodies, as they began to speak in languages they had never learned about things they barely understood. It was only 9 in the morning when they received a new spirit, a spirit not induced by hysteria or grief or by strong drink, as some onlookers would scoff. No, this was the spirit who had hovered over the waters before the creation of the world. This was the spirit who breathed life into the lungs and the heart of the first Adam and his descendants afterwards. This was the spirit that spoke through the patriarchs and the prophets about this very day. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke that day. It was the third person of the Trinity that filled the minds and the mouths of the nobodies, so that the darkness and of their fear and uncertainty fled before the tongues of fire on their heads, as their tongues proclaimed the wonders of God to a crowd not of 10 or 20 or 100, but thousands and thousands of Pentecost worshipers, out of which God would call 3,000 people for himself, baptize them into his eternal family, and bolster the ranks of the slowly growing church so that together they might carry out the mission of making disciples of all nations. All of that at 9 in the morning. But now it's 10 in the morning, isn't it? And what do you say? Do you feel like a bunch of nobodies? Have you gathered in this room on this Pentecost festival waiting for the thing that Jesus promised, waiting for the Spirit? Are your ears wide open, listening, not for the sound of a gale force wind, but maybe the sound of a gentle breeze? Are you looking around the sanctuary, straining your eyes, not to see necessarily tongues of fire, but maybe just maybe a little glow above somebody's head? Are you here this morning hoping that the Spirit might be poured out on you, not to speak languages you've never learned to thousands of people at one time, but maybe the competency to speak your own language well and have the answers for not thousands, but maybe just your family and friends? If you're like me, it's when the festival of Pentecost comes around, the festival that's meant to celebrate the working of the Holy Spirit, that I have the hardest time believing in Him. Because when I go through God's Word, I see the works of the Father and the works of the Son, and even though my eyes haven't seen them first person, but through faith, I trust them. I have confidence in them. I have confidence that the Father created the world. I have confidence that the Son saved the world. But then we get to the Spirit, and whereas the works of the Father and the Son seem so certain to me, the works of the Spirit so often seem the opposite. It's when the festival of Pentecost comes around, and I look at the church throughout the world, I look at the Christians in our community, and I look at my own spiritual life, and I find myself in the darkness of that same darkness of the nobody apostles 2,000 years ago. The darkness of fear and uncertainty. How hard would it be, really, to bring back that rush of wind? How hard would it be to bring back the tongues of fire for a second round? How hard would it be to fill the mouths of the people with languages we've never learned and with words of confidence so that we could walk from this place and proclaim the word to the people of Antioch and 3,000 people would bolster our numbers and work with us in our ministry? How hard would it be for the Holy Spirit to work in us like He worked in the early church? Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem isn't that the Spirit isn't real, or that the Spirit isn't working. Maybe the problem is that the Holy Spirit isn't real to us, and that He isn't working in the way that we might expect. How often in your Christian life do you acknowledge the Holy Spirit? How often do you thank Him for the gifts that He's given you? How often do you look at your time, talents, and treasures and see them as just as valuable as the miraculous tongue speaking in the early church? I mean, just think about it. What makes the nobodies of the first century church any different than the nobodies who sit in the pews here today? I mean, we're gathered together just like them. We come from all different walks of life, just like them. We have the eye of the world on us, daring us to show that we're incompetent and unfaithful to what we proclaim. We have the same faith, the same Savior, the same hope. What makes us any different? Well, maybe the problem isn't that the Spirit isn't real, or that He isn't working. Maybe the problem is that you're convinced that He couldn't work through you. When you heard the account of the first Pentecost again, as it comes around every year, and you heard the story of Peter, did you look at what Peter did and say to yourself, my goodness, I could never do that? I mean, just think about Peter. He was in Jesus' inner circle. He walked on water. He ran to the empty tomb. And when he saw the resurrected Jesus on the banks, he dove into the water, clothes and all, to get there first. He saw the Lord ascended in glory. And now look at him. This man preaching to thousands of people with confidence. I couldn't do that. And it's not just Peter, it's all the apostles. Look at them. They're a bunch of nobodies, and yet their mouths are full of different languages proclaiming the wonders of God to people, and they're actually listening. The Spirit can never work through me like that. Couldn't be like Peter. Couldn't be like the apostles. Well, let's see. Have you ever denied Jesus? Doubted Jesus? Betrayed Jesus? They did. Peter was just another nobody. What was he but a poor, uneducated fisherman? And all the other apostles were just the same. They were all in the same boat. There was nothing special about them that God looked through time and said, I'm going to choose them. No, the reason why they could speak words that shook hearts and performed signs that stirred the soul was not because there was something intrinsic in them that made them special, but there's something about the Holy Spirit that made them special. What made the nobodies somebodies was that the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, decided to dwell in them, decided to work through them, decided to save them. And wouldn't you know it, this same triune God decides to dwell and to save and to work through you. Though you might not feel it, you might not perceive it, you might not understand it, you are part of God's salvation story by grace. For just as there is nothing special about the apostles, there's nothing special about us. Nothing special except that God chose to love us, and his promise is that choosing of love is never going to change. But it's more than that. God's love goes beyond that. It was God's love that put you in the place you are right now. It is God's love that put you in the relationships that you have with your family and your friends. And it's God's love that has thoroughly equipped you to be the moon to the sun, to reflect his love to those who are in your life, to make you fully equipped and prepared for every good work this side of heaven. But more than that, fully equipped and prepared for the next side as well. It was only 9 in the morning, that first Pentecost. But only 9 in the morning? No, it was much more than that. It was the precise moment in history that God chose before the creation of the world to pour out his Spirit in a new and special way on every man, woman, and child that calls on his name. And that Spirit has been poured out ever since. But right now, it's no longer 9 in the morning. It's 10 in the morning. But only 10 in the morning? No, much more than that. This is the precise moment that God chose before the creation of the world to pour out his Spirit on you. You, his people, men, women, and children who call upon his name. Right now, what better time for the Spirit to work than right now? Don't be fooled. Yes, the book of Acts in the Bible has a start and an end. We call it the Acts of the Apostles. But I'll tell you, there's a sequel going on right now. And it's no longer the Acts of the Apostles. They've come and gone. But now is the time of the Acts of the Believers. And if you read it, you'll find your name in it. So what do you think? Is your story worthy of being called a Bible story? And if not, why not? Don't see the signs? Don't see the miracles? Well, look a little closer, and you'll see them. The fact that you are here this morning in this place, It's a miracle. The fact that you can look up at the man on the cross and see not the enemy, but the God of love, someone that you trust, that's a miracle. And not only is you being here this morning a miracle, but the fact that you are surrounded by fellow Christians who share the same confession, that will walk with you up the communion rail and receive the Lord's body and blood, and will walk with you from this place fully equipped to be the light to this world that they need, to share the gospel message, a message that melts hardened hearts and brings life to that which was dead. That's you. That's a miracle. Your life is full of miracles. Your life truly is a Bible story. Not because of who you are, but because of the God who works through you, just like he worked through the apostles of old. Because to this day and from this day onward, he is going to work through you in ways that you can't begin to imagine. And so, yeah, on this Pentecost, it is more than 10 in the morning. It is the moment when the Spirit is working in you and working through you. And I suppose that means there's only one more question left to ask. To whom will he lead you? Amen.